It's good to see you this morning. If you don't know who I am, I'm Steve. I'm the pastor here, and it's lovely to have you with us this morning. In a moment or two, we're going to continue in our series looking at the armour of God, but just a couple of notices first. So first thing, Colin mentioned a few weeks ago, but you know, the anniversary of the church. So we looked into the archives. Obviously, I wasn't around then. But the church was planted here in 1950. And so we had a big celebration in 2007 when the church was 50 years old. So we're not going to do anything this year, but we will look ahead a few years and think maybe what do we do when the church has been here for 70 years. So perhaps we'll look at that, but we're some way off that. So that's why we're not doing more about that this time. Second thing. We're going to start in September an Alpha course. I think it's Thursday, the 12th of September. And so if you know people who you think they don't know anything about Christianity, or maybe they're curious about what it's all about. Is there a God? Does it have any bearing upon their lives? Then we're going to run this in September. So there are some flyers out in the foyer, or come and see me and ask me more about that if you want to know any more. All right. And then the last thing, I'm conscious it's the summer, so maybe you've been away and come back. So there is a booklet for the series out in the foyer, which has got an introduction to each part of the armour of God, some space if you want to make some notes, and then questions for home groups. So I'll make a cup of tea during the week and sit down and work this through and think about what God may be saying to you. That's out in the foyer. If you want that. Right. So today we're thinking about the shield of faith. We've heard so far about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of peace. And then we get this verse. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Ephesians 6. Verse 16. So the first point we need to make and to see is it's in addition to, it's not instead of. And so it's not a case of put the belt on of truth, belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of peace, or the shield of faith. It's in addition. We're meant to have all of these things. We need it all. There are some specifics we're going to look at in relation to the armour of God and specifics about the shield of faith. But a quick aside here, there are many things in life that we want, aren't there? Lots of things that we will decide that we want, but yet there are some things that we need to have. And not all of our wants are needs. We need to read the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to have fellowship with other believers. We need to worship God, for God is worthy of our worship. Our discipleship is important in the way in which we kind of copy and imitate the Lord Jesus. It's important. And so therefore, our discipleship that doesn't include being intimate and being close with God and being involved for God, to serving God, isn't discipleship. If we only serve God, but never take time just to dwell with God, then that's not discipleship. If we only ever dwell and sit with God, but never serve him, that isn't discipleship. We've got to do those two things together. We need to be intimate and involved with God. Do you ever feel like there simply aren't enough hours in the day? You're kind of thinking, Steve, it's all right for you to say, I've got to serve and I've got to kind of read the Bible, but I haven't got time to do all those things. There's not enough hours in the day. We need to sometimes work out what our non-negotiables are. Have you ever seen that illustration where if you've got a jar and you've got some big pebbles and some slightly smaller ones and some sand, and you've got to try and get it all in the jar, and you think that's impossible? If you make the mistake of tipping the sand in first, you've got no chance. If you've never seen this illustration, you're thinking, what is he talking about? But go home, find an empty jar, go in your garden, get some pebbles. Put the big things in first, and then the next size things, and you finish with the smaller things, and you'll find that you get in to the jar. You put the sand in first, you've got no chance. What are the non-negotiables for you? That's important for everyone, isn't it? But particularly as believers, what are the non-negotiables? I think that's reading, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, worship, spending time with other believers. There are non-negotiables, aren't they? We need to put those things into our life and then see what else fits. Don't try and add on the fundamentals of Christian living, because you'll find that you'll go, Steve, that sounds very good, but I just don't have time. Maybe we need to take everything out of our lives and reorientate, because these are not optional extras. They are in addition to. We've got to put these things into our lives. Otherwise, we'll inevitably end up dropping the wrong thing. We need to be people who are in the Word, people of prayer, people of fellowship and worship. We need devotion and service, not one or the other, but in addition to. Anyway, back to the passage. We need to take up the shield of faith. The shield does what it says on the tin. It covers, it protects, it moves where it's needed. It stops the attacks from coming through. Now, the shield of a Roman soldier would have been the size of a door. And they would have used it to shield the whole body, to shield their whole life, as it were. And so this would have been language that they would have been used to. So when they're told to take up the shield of faith, they understood what it meant. They understood that this wasn't a small shield that covers their forearm. My mum and dad, I've got a photograph of me when I was about so big, with a kind of shield made of cardboard and covered in foil. And it would have been on my arm, covering my arm, with a sword in the other hand. There's maybe one or two mothers thinking, I've got one of those as well, of my other word. But it's not a shield like that, that just covers the forearm and a bit of the whole body. It covers everything. It'd be like standing behind a door. It covers the whole body, the whole life. And this is the analogy that we need when we think about taking up the shield of faith. Because the armor of God is not about going to war. This is not onward Christian soldiers marching out to war, but it's a way of understanding the help that God has given us so as we can stand firm. Take up the shield of faith and protect your whole body, protect your whole life. Faith in God is not just about the kind of hour and a half or so that we're in this building or at school on a Sunday morning. Taking up the shield of faith is about covering and protecting your whole life. Where you go tomorrow, where you'll be at 11 o'clock on Tuesday or 9 o'clock on Thursday night, whatever it is, have the shield of faith, because it will cover your whole body, your whole life, and enable you to stand firm in God. God has given us faith through Jesus and faith in him for the whole of your life. It's meant for everything, every aspect and area and part of your life. It's meant for everything. There is not a bit of your life that is outside the cover and the protection of God. There is nothing of your life that he doesn't care about, and there is nothing of your life that he is indifferent about. He knows you deeply and closely and personally, for he knitted you together in your mother's womb, Psalm 139. And he is here for all of you. Take up the shield of faith. Stand behind the door of the promises of God. Put faith in him. He is here for all of you. And he's here for you now. This is not just about eternity. This is for now. This is not about, I have faith in God and I hope that one day when I die, I'll go to heaven. This is about knowing the deep personal relationship and that deep sense of faith and provision, the promises of God for now. If you are poorly and suffering with your immunity, you are more vulnerable, aren't you, to other infections. Talk about people having cancer treatment, how they can be vulnerable around the times of chemotherapy, more vulnerable to other infections. More care is needed to not suffer with more than one illness at once. And similarly, we know from our own experience that when we are sick, when we're struggling with our finances, struggling with strained relationships or just something else, we know that we're also vulnerable in those moments to other challenges, to other difficulties, other attacks. Fear, anxiety, doubt, depression are all more likely to strike when we are feeling low with a different problem. And so we need to take up the shield of faith. We've got to do what we can and receive and use what we have in and from God to hold off the fiery darts. This faith is a faith in God's provision. Take up the shield of faith. Trust in the provision and the promise of God for your everyday life, for your everything of who you are. He's given you faith now for everyday matters, for the big things, for the little things, the whole of your life. It's more than I believe I'll go to heaven when I die. It's about I know that God stands with me today, tomorrow. It's a faith in God that I want God to be God in my life. I want him to be my Lord, my lion and my lamb. I want him to be everything for me. I have faith in God to be God, which is to rule and to be in charge, to be of and over everything, to be powerful, to be working for good in my life, in all the everyday nitty-gritty affairs of our life. Take up the shield of faith. Have God rule and work in your life. A shield that covers more than the heart, but the whole of the body, the whole of your life, everything. The shield of faith is for more than your eternity, but it's for all of you, to protect you from every single attack of the evil one. Have you ever used a megaphone? Anyone ever used a megaphone? I used to have one, but it broke. Megaphones are great. Megaphones are really great because you can speak into a megaphone with a small voice and have it amplified to be a loud and powerful voice. And that means, that's the kind of picture for us in this, that you might feel timid and afraid and anxious and full of fear, but yet stand behind a fire door that's the shield of faith and you are strong because God is strong. You become ultimately impenetrable because you are not standing there in your own strength or in your own might, but you are standing there in the power and the presence of God. Take up the shield of faith. It's not take up the shield, you know, pull your boots up, pull your socks up, tighten your boots. It's not that. It's not about I'm going to muster up everything I've got and face this down. No. Take up the shield of faith. Stand behind God, who's powerful and sovereign. He wants to protect you and rule. We are the same, but faith has made a difference. Faith has brought the power, which means we don't need to be timid in our own strength, but can be strong in the power of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is a famous verse. It's one of those verses that nowadays you're likely to see as a tattoo. Years ago, Christians used to get bookmarks with verses on. Then it was coffee mugs. Nowadays, people get them tattooed on them. Whatever's good for you, I don't mind. It's a great verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But it's often taken wildly out of context. And if you take a text out of its context, all you're left with is a con. But this is a great verse, isn't it? It's a verse for a people who are in exile. Exile is like being put on the naughty spot. God put you there. He knows where you are. He's always coming back for you. But he is separating you for a while so that you can think about your behavior. And they were being punished for their unfaithfulness, left to think about their behavior. Their exile is not a pleasant experience at all. They are being attacked, pushed around, picked on. It's miserable. And then, as it were, kind of boom. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Kind of, yes, please. Now we're talking, because life has been miserable up until now. But they needed faith. In the midst of a difficult time in their lives, they needed faith. They're hearing that God has a promise for them at a time in their lives which is monumentally difficult. They're in exile and it's horrible. And someone is singing, please don't worry about a thing, because every little thing's going to be all right. It's only faith that has you believe that, isn't it? It's only faith that enables you to believe that when the life is falling apart all around you, you can say, oh, I'm going to look up and I'll praise the Lord because he's got me and he's good. He's going to get me through this. It's only faith that has you believe that. And God says that we have an almighty shield of faith, a shield as big as a door, big enough to cover your whole body, your whole life, but you've got to take it up. You've got to pick it up. It's not you've got to summon it. You haven't got to do that. You've just got to pick it up. It's no good to you unless you use it, live in it, exercise it, stretch it, test it, and find it to be completely glorious. God says, take up the shield of faith. Take up my shield. You can sometimes live life and you feel like you're on the back foot, feeling like problems are attacking you from every side, feel like there's no way out, let alone no way forwards. All it feels like sometimes is all you can do is kind of cower and feel consumed by your problems. Or you can take up the shield of faith. You can live in faith. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I know that God is with me and he is going to lead me out. You can live in faith to know protection against all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Faith, and crucially, the one who you have faith in can keep you safe. You might have faith in a shield made of paper and you will find it to be ineffective. Or you can have faith in God, who is the size of a door, bigger than you, made of thick wood, bound in leather, soaked in water to extinguish the flames. God is sufficient. Your faith in him is sufficient. It's not just about having faith, but about where it is placed. So place your faith in the Almighty. Put your faith in God and take up the shield of faith. Place your faith in the Almighty. It's not about having a lot of faith either. So don't say, oh, you don't have enough faith in order for that. Or I don't have enough faith in order to see that come about. If only I had the faith of so-and-so. No, don't do any of that. Don't say any of that. Jesus told the disciples that if they only had faith, they had faith only as big as a mustard seed, they could move the mountains in Matthew 17. Faith only as big as a mustard seed, and they could move mountains. It's not the amount of faith that matters, but where it is placed. When they prayed for Peter's release from jail in Acts 12, they had no expectation whatsoever, no faith at all that their prayers would be answered. But out he came. Out he came. It's not whether or not we believe our prayers will be answered, but whether or not we pray, whether we have to pray. We have to pray, don't we? We have to pray. For life can be hard. It can feel difficult. It can feel like it's crowding in all around us. Take up your shield of faith. What does that mean? Well, pray. For to pray is to take up the shield of faith. Taking up the shield is a metaphor, if you like, of what it means to pray. And so pray. Pray and have faith. Even when you see no way out, pray. Put your trust in God. For he wants to lead you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to protect you. He wants to defend you. He's got plans not to harm you, but plans for your good. It is the means by which the sovereign God moves in our lives. Last point. Gilla made a comment last week about unity. He said that too often we spend time sorting out the unity within a church, which can become a distraction from the mission of the church, which is to reach the lost. If all of our time goes into kind of maintaining and repairing our relationships with one another, we have no time or energy left to take the gospel out to those that are lost. So unity is not a distraction. No one is a distraction. But if we have to keep reminding each other that we are saved by grace and saved into a family together, then we take time away from the mission to reach the lost. We've got to be looking outwards. The shield of a Roman soldier was designed to interlock with the shield next to them. They had edges on them that locked into the shield of the one next to it. The shield of faith, then, is a means of adding strength and protection to the whole body. Not just your whole body, but the whole body of the whole church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. If one part of the body suffers, then all the other parts suffer with it. So take up your shield. Take up your shield. It's powerful because it not just protects you, but it protects your brothers and sisters. Take up your shield. What does this look like in practice? Well, it means that we need to be together. Make the most of times to be together. Don't isolate yourself from your brothers and sisters. Be a part of our house group. Be here on Sundays as often as you possibly can. I heard a Christian from another church, a completely different place, say recently, it was a Saturday afternoon, I haven't decided if we're going to church tomorrow. It was Saturday afternoon. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Take up your shield. Take it up. It's active. It's not a passive thing. It's given to us, but we are involved. Take up your shield and lock it in with the others and stand firm together. Stand in faith together. If someone is in need, stand together in faith for their need. If someone is joyful, thank God together for his faithfulness that he has given us something to be joyful about. God is faithful to us even when we are not at all faithful to him. But we really feel the benefit of it when we take up the shield, don't we? And we stand behind God and we stand together. You can imagine the kind of a line of soldiers with their shields interlocked and them looking at each other. We're all right. We're all right because our shields have got us. Imagine then if we stood shoulder to shoulder one with another. We're going to be okay because God is for us. God is with us. The sovereign God, the powerful God, the mighty God, the one who is mighty to save. He is for us. We feel the benefit when we take up the shield. And we do that standing side by side, one another. Jesus Christ died for us. He took the punishment of our sin to give us grace and hope and love and mercy. But it's nothing. It means absolutely nothing if we don't accept it. If we don't live in its blessing, if we don't live in its power, how do we do that? Take up the shield. Take up the shield of faith. I have faith in God because he's given it to me. And now I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it today and tomorrow. I'm going to use it with that next difficulty and challenge that I'm facing because it's still real. But I know that God is going to get me through. He's given me faith. It covers me, protects me. And I'm stood next to my brother. I'm stood next to my sister. And we're in this together. Take up your shield. Take up your shield. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the armor of God. I thank you, as we've already thought in these last few weeks, about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals that are ready and full of peace. But Lord, I thank you for this shield of faith that protects us. It guards us. It covers us. I thank you that it's not doesn't just designed to cover a bit of us, but all of us. For you cover our whole lives. I thank you that we, when we can stand together as a body of your people, we can kind of interlock that together. We can pray together over and for and with one another. That we can rejoice with those who rejoice and we can mourn with those who mourn, for we stand together with a shield of faith. Maybe not knowing all the answers, maybe not knowing the beginning from the end, but trusting and confident that you do. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who came for us, lived amongst us, died for us, rose again for us, as we've been singing about, so that we may be given this gift of faith, which changes everything, which changes our lives, changes our future, changes our eternity. And so, Father, I pray that we would live in the good of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that here as a body of your people, that we would kind of raise up that shield of faith, we would lift it up, stand behind it, living in the good of it, in your word together, praying together, in fellowship with one another, worshiping you in spirit and truth for all that you are and all that you've done for us. Father, help us, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship together. We're going to take communion as well. And we're going to take the communion first. And why do we do that? Well, because Jesus asked us to. It's part of our remembrance, isn't it? Do this until I come, says the Lord. And so we're going to do that because it's an instruction for us, but also it's a means of grace, it's a means of reminding ourselves that we are in this together. We are united together in Jesus because of Jesus. And so we take and we eat and we drink together. It's part of a reminder to one another of what we have in Jesus, part of a reminder to one another of our faith in him, from him. And so if you know that Jesus is your Lord, if Jesus is your Savior, if you acknowledge him to be that, then please take, eat and drink. Give thanks to him. Give thanks for him. for all that he is and all that he has done for us. I'm going to pray. We'll pass that around. And in a moment, we will worship again too. Father, we thank you for this communion feast. We thank you for the gift of it to us, because it helps us to remember. It helps us to remember you, helps us to remember what you've done for us, helps us to remember that you've united us together. You've joined us together to be one family, to be the kingdom of God. And so, Father, I pray that we would eat and drink and give thanks and remember Jesus, who has brought us all together, united us. Father, I pray that it will be a kind of a literal encouragement to us this morning, that we stand together and united together in faith through Jesus. Father, we thank you. Amen.